Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 34, and I normally read my scripture in the beginning, but I'm gonna get to it in a minute. I'm preaching today. The title of the message is The Feast of Tabernacles. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we worship you, and we adore you. And Lord, help us today to look to your word to tell us what to do. Lord, you said you sent your word and you healed them. And Lord, we need healing in so many areas. Give us understanding and give us ears to hear. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fairest of 10,000s. Lord, we worship Jesus Christ. We want him in our lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's important to have correct eschatology. The word eschatology, the study of last things. We need to understand last things, or the doctrine, the idea, the theology would have you of the end times, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to set up his kingdom. It's important to have correct, biblically based theology and eschatology. Again, we believe, and the Bible teaches, the pre-millennial or thousand year, the pre-millennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking for the second coming. We're looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're looking for the rapture, when Jesus returns to come to get us, but that's pre-tribulation. I'm not saying anything new, and if I had the time, I could take you through the scriptures and prove these doctrines, premillennial and pre-tribulation, and maybe at some point I'll do that. But I began to talk about false doctrines that came about right around World War II. The Latter Rain movement, and the Manifest Sons of God doctrine. You say, well, I've never heard of it, but every single one of you listening, if you've turned on Christian television, you've heard these doctrines, or the doctrines that they came up with, those folks that started this Latter Rain movement. You've heard these doctrines taught again and again and again. You name your favorite prosperity teacher, you name your favorite prophecy teacher on television, what have you, and these doctrines are preached again and again and again, and we will show from Scripture. Again, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. Let's go to the written word of God. Let's be good Bereans. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, the Bible, then there's no light in them. And most of what is taught on television and most of the books in the bookstore that deal with the end times and what have you is wrong. It's error. There was a book written by George Warnock, or Warnock, however you say his name, I believe the title was The Feast of Tabernacles. In it he lays out wrong theology, bad eschatology. Instead of what the churches always believed, that Jesus Christ would return to set up his kingdom, and we're looking for his appearing. Instead of that, again, we're talking about old doctrines. In the 80s, it was referred to as Kingdom Now. And the apostles, the G12 apostles, whatever, they teach something different from Scripture. And I went over some of that. In the last few weeks, if you've listened to the program, however long it's been, I've gone back and I've replayed everything that I had dealing with the Passover and also the Feast of Pentecost, trying to lay a groundwork, trying to show from the Word of God correct eschatology. And eschatology deals directly with salvation. The same Lord that hung on the cross is the same one that's coming back to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, Satan talking to Eve. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's the original lie, and that lie is taught on Christian television today. You can get mad if you like, but let's go to the Word of God, and you can argue with that. And it's not of any private interpretation. I'm just going to read you the Word of God and let it interpret itself. Exodus chapter 34, verse 18 through 23. It says, The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee, in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib thou camest out of Egypt. That's talking about the Passover. Unleavened bread follows directly after the Passover. Verse 22, And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest. That's the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. 50 days, 7 weeks, the feast of weeks. But the rest of that verse, verse 22, And the feast of ingathering at year's end. The next verse, verse 23, again, Exodus chapter 34. Thrice or three times in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. Again, he says three times a year that the children of Israel should appear in Jerusalem at the house of God for Passover, for Pentecost, and for tabernacles. I've taught a lot on Passover. Pretty much everybody teaches on Passover, I suppose. Every Easter, we call it, I suppose. That's not correct. But every Easter, we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, which Passover foreshadows. Pentecost. We don't really keep that day per se, but I am a Pentecostal preacher, and we have an understanding. We believe the Word of God. We have an understanding that the Spirit of God that fell on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, was so that we could be witnesses unto Christ. The power to win souls. The power to gather in the lost. But tabernacles. Very few people teach or preach on tabernacles directly. But this is one of the three feasts that the Jews were required to attend. Thrice in the year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. Again, it's not taught about much, but it's important. But let's take a look. In this same chapter, Exodus chapter 34, verse 33 through 36. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. We understand a Sabbath, a day of rest. That's what he's talking about, servile work. In other words, rest, don't work. From Wikipedia, talking about tabernacles or the Jewish name Sukkot, it has a double significance. The one mentioned in the book of Exodus is agricultural in nature. In other words, it has to do with farming. The Feast of Ingathering at year's end, it says, and marks the end of the harvest time. If you go to Rouse's or wherever in the world you happen to get your groceries, it doesn't just magically appear. Some farmer had to plant that and wait months and then pick it. When they pick it, after it's finished growing, that's the harvest. Tabernacles has to do with harvest. But it says the more elaborate religious significance is from the book of Leviticus, and it's that of commemorating the Exodus and the dependence of the people of Israel on the will of God. If you can trust Wikipedia. But Wikipedia says that tabernacles is a commemoration of Exodus or the Passover and depending upon the will of God, and I would say upon the Spirit of God. We should depend upon God to do His work and not rely upon our own strength. John chapter 7, most of the chapter I guess you can read, but in verse 1 it says, After these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry or Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Again, I've said this again and again and again, Jesus is a great man. He did many wonderful works. He gave fantastic sermons or speeches or whatever you want to call them, I suppose, from that point of view, perhaps. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did all of these things. But his mission was to come and die for the sins of the world. You cannot have a crossless Christianity without the cross and without the resurrection. Christianity is meaningless. But it says the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Jesus was there. He kind of went up a little later, it says in verse 8, what have you, but he was keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. But starting at verse 8 through 10, he tells his disciples, Go ye up to this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Again, the Jews sought to kill him, but it wasn't time for him to die just yet. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, the disciples, then went he also up unto the feast. Not openly, but as it were, in secret. But in verse 37 through 39, this is the good part. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." We understand that the day of Pentecost was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, which occurred after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. The Spirit was poured out, and Jesus was testifying that that event would happen. We should come to him. And the promise of the fathers to as many as would believe. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, 39, what have you. In just a year or two, I'm not exactly sure when John 7 occurred, but he was prophesying of that day and of those events. But on this last day of the feast, as we understand, as we study, the Jews had a number of things that they did, the priests, the Levites, whoever was in charge, they had a number of things that they did. But on that last day, right at the end, before they closed it out, there was one more offering, a water offering, not wine or anything, or not blood, but this was a water offering. It was poured out for the Gentiles. You can look way back in Exodus chapter 12, 13, what have you, chapter 11 maybe, I'm not exactly sure, but it mentions that only Jews could eat the Passover, but they were to leave a place for any Gentile that wanted to come and serve the Lord. They were to reserve a place for the Gentiles. You know, salvation is of the Jews, but even way back then, God was thinking about you and me, Gentiles, people that are not Jews. There's millions of Jews in the world. That's great. I don't know, 30, 50 million. I don't know how many there are. But there's 6 or 7 billion Gentiles. And Jesus died for all of them, not just the Jews. God cares about Gentiles. And he wants us to preach the gospel unto every creature. That's what missions work is all about. Going to tell somebody else, hey, let me tell you the good news of what Jesus did on Mount Calvary. But again, this water offering for the Gentiles. And Jesus stood up right then and said, you see that thing the priest is doing there? But look at me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Because the things that the Jews did, that they were directed to in Exodus and Leviticus and whatever, they all pointed to Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He's the fulfillment. He's the fulfillment. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me and drink, he said. Because out of Christ's belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that fulfillment was on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit was poured out. And it's for you and it's for me. We can be saved, but we can be filled. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, God says, the fountain of living waters. Yes, he's complaining about the Jews forsaking God, but he's testifying that he himself, God, is the fountain of living waters. And it says that they hewed or carved them out cisterns that were broken and couldn't hold water, but again, we should come to him. He is the fountain of living waters. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, Jesus said, and drink. And again, Pentecost follows Calvary. It's important to get our theology straight. But we're studying the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, we said, at the beginning of this chapter, John chapter 7. But it's the wrong feast. It's the wrong feast, pouring out of water for the Gentiles on the Day of Tabernacles, but Pentecost had to do with the pouring out of the Spirit. It's supposedly the wrong feast. But all these three feasts go together. The work of God, the plan of God, all goes together. You've got Calvary. You've got Pentecost. And then you've got Tabernacles at year's end. He's looking forward to Jesus' return when he sets up his kingdom. The final fulfillment is when, in the book of Revelation, God sets his kingdom up with men, but there's an urgency. He stood up at the feast the last day and said, "You've got to come to me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me." There's an urgency. We've got to win souls. We've got to preach the old-fashioned gospel, not some newfangled stuff you find on television, not what the prophets out in Colorado Springs says. But you need to come to him. You need to look to him. And we must be about the Father's business of preaching to lost souls. Running out of time, but in Exodus chapter 17, it talks about the children of Israel. They were in the desert, and they were thirsty, and they cried out to God for water. And Moses was told to take your stick and smite the rock, and out of the rock came a river of living water that 3.5 million people and their flocks and herds had enough to drink. They were thirsty for water, it says in Exodus chapter 17, verse 3. But they were satisfied. Streams in the desert. Paul said, "But that rock was Christ. Moses took his staff and smote or hit the rock. But that rock was Christ. Jesus Christ hung on the cross, smitten of God," Isaiah chapter 53. "And because he was smitten, because he hung and bled and died, out of him," and again, 50 days later, "the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost." I know that's a lot of theology, and I've run out of time, I understand. But in Exodus chapter 34, let me read it again, verse 22 and 23, "And thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks," which is Pentecost, "of the first fruits of the wheat harvest." Again, it's about winning souls. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "It's poured out to give us power to preach the gospel." "And of the feast of ingathering at year's end." We must gather in the harvest. I gotta hurry. John chapter 4. We understand the woman at the well. I preached that. It's a wonderful message. But Jesus is talking to the disciples, and in verse 32, he says, "But I have meat to eat that you know not of." And in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." And then it mentions those that reap and those that sow. Again, this is agriculture. This is about a farmer. One guy puts the seed in the ground, and another guy comes and plucks the stuff off the vine when it's finished, when it's fully grown. It says we work together and receive wages, and we rejoice together. That's sowing and reaping, the biblical sowing and reaping. It talks about preaching the gospel, trying to win lost souls, telling them what Jesus did, that he died for the sins of the world on that cross. It's not about hundredfold return. It's not about confess this and that and try to get a Cadillac or whatever. It's not about anything like that. Let me say it again. The TV gospel is wrong. You believe that, you'll end up in hell. We need to be about the true Father's business, that of preaching the cross. We've got to get it right. We've got to quit the foolishness. All three of these feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Again, Tabernacles speaks of the end of the world, and we've got to gather in lost souls before Jesus comes, before the great tribulation. All of these feasts have to do with Christ dying for the lost and us working as hard as we can to win them before it's too late. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.